I was like, this is exactly what I want at my events. I want, like, people to bring the people they're interested in, you know, Hunger Games style. I want drama. I want to see someone fight it out.
Fight to the death.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the final rose tonight?
Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can meet New York City's kinda eligible. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. Stay tuned till the end of the episode if you're interested in matching with our guest.
Today, we have a great guest, and I'm gonna be very honest, like, I don't let people re-record their episodes, but I thought it was necessary because the first time we chatted, it felt like I was not getting the you that I know and wanted to convey to the rest of the world of New York for the most part. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Can you tell us how old you are, where you live, where you grew up, where you went to school if you want, what you do for work? Give me as much information as you want to give me.
Sure. Hello, hello, hello. And thanks for letting me re-record. I was very shy the first time, and I was also very busy making my pasta sauce.
Yeah, she was making pasta sauce as we were recording. I was like, the disrespect.
No, listen, I have priorities, and I had to get it done. It was Sunday evening, like, I had to make my meals for the week, so I'm 24, very soon going on 25, which is terrifying.
It's not terrifying. I'm 25.
It's terrifying. Born and raised in New York, I grew up in Queens. I went to high school in Manhattan and then went undergrad across the country in California and moved back. I lived with my parents for a bit during the pandemic and then moved into my own place, and I'm in Bed-Stuy now. I work in the film industry. I'm mostly freelance. I've been working on a movie for the past 2 years now as the director's assistant. It's an Adam Sandler film coming out on June 10th on Netflix, so go check it out. But other than that, I'm living my best life in New York, just doing my thing.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you on because I've known you for years. And there's always a good story with you. And there's also, you're always in a relationship. So
not anymore.
I know, I'm proud of you. I'm catching you in this moment of, you know, you're in your fuck girl era.
I hope so. I hope that's what it is. This is the longest I've been single.
I know, which is shocking. How long have you been single?
So I've been single for a little more than a year now, which is the longest I've been single. I am historically a serial monogamist, but last year I said no more of that. Time to just be alone for a bit. And obviously, you know, the pandemic made that a little bit easier, but it's been a really great year. And I'm really glad that I spent most of it single. And it's like allowed me to like experience dating differently and, you know, do some growing and healing, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And we'll get into all of that in a second. But before I forget, I want to ask, and I know you have good opinions on all of these. Where do you like to eat and where do you like to go out?
Ooh, okay. My like kind of go-to spot is Hanan in Williamsburg, which is like the best udon. And it's also right off the train. So like very convenient, good vibe.
It's super cute in there. Like you feel like
super cute.
They have like a little garden in the back when it's warm. So def a good spot.
Mm-hmm. So that's my go-to for like a dinner during the week if I want to go out somewhere. It's definitely harder to get a table these days, but if you go early on the earlier side, you can definitely walk in and grab something. For drinks, I don't have like a go-to favorite spot, but there are places that I frequent. I live in Bed-Stuy, so obviously actually I feel like I go out fairly 50-50 like in Brooklyn and Manhattan. But one of my favorite bars is a place called Wild Birds. It's in Crown Heights. And they have live music, and they bring in a huge variety of bands and artists, and it's a super cool vibe and like very community oriented. And they also have food next door, and like the food they serve rotates. Highly recommend for like going with friends or taking a date there. Also love a good dive bar. Mm. And I feel like we don't talk about dive bars enough.
I feel like when people talk about dive bars, it's Ray's. And Ray's is like cosplaying as a dive bar.
Yeah, she's like dive bar chic, you know, trying to glam up the dive bar, but not like a true dive bar. Like, you want a place that's like $5 for a shot and a beer.
Where are those places? What dive bars do you like?
So in the beginning of the pandemic, obviously not that many places were open, but a bunch of friends and I would always go to Reception Bar downtown. And after having like some nice cocktails at Reception Bar, we're like, let's have some fun. And we go around the corner to Clockwork. And at the time they had an outdoor space, so it's a place to go.
It's so funny that you say Reception Bar, because I just got off the phone with my like future sister-in-law, and she was at Reception Bar last night, and I've been meaning to go. And I was like, oh, how was it? And she was like, it was really good. I feel like it's the place where all hot Asians go and drink.
It's true. That's true. That is the spot. I mean, that's where I go. So there's your answer.
Yeah. Okay. So Reception Bar, Clockwork, Wild Birds. These are all great recs. Hanan. I haven't been to Hanan in ages, but it's so good.
And it slaps year round, like winter, summer, like, it, you know, they have whatever.
You can't go wrong with udon. You really can't. Something about a thick noodle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're like, no, not really. Speaking of which, let's get back into your love life.
Yeah.
You know, you're a self-proclaimed, and I would agree, serial monogamist up until maybe this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to hear a bit about your past relationships and what kind of like, what were those like for you? Why are you always in one?
Yeah, totally. I feel like some context would help. Also, wait, I don't know if I already said this, but I am queer. I primarily date women or women identifying folks. And I feel like a lot of my dating history and like ending up in these kind of like serious long-term relationships has a lot to do with my queerness. And not because of, you know, like the first assumption is, oh, the U-hauling stereotype, like lesbians go from 0 to 100 like overnight and move in together and everything's super emotional and intense and fast paced. Some of that is definitely true, but I think for me personally, it was like when I was just starting to understand my queerness, I didn't know what a queer relationship was supposed to look like, right? So like, and I didn't understand what romance and love and attention and a relationship in a queer context was supposed to be. So like, whoever kind of gave me an ounce of attention and I knew they were queer, I was like, okay, I must date you, you know, because I just didn't know what I was doing. And I thought that's the natural progression. So I'm just going to do that. So yeah, I've kind of ended up in a lot of back-to-back relationships. And also just like when you're in college, it's super easy to like date when you're on campus and you know, you have shared contacts with these people and you see them all the time. Everyone's like a 2-minute walk away from you. So
yeah, it's so easy in college to like fall into a relationship because you're just, everything is so close and people are on like a very similar schedule, which is like class and then you're free. You like do homework and then you go out at night. Like when you come into the real world, like that is not what dating is like. Everybody has crazy, especially New York.
Yeah.
Everybody has like crazy schedules. Like if you're in Bed-Stuy and I'm on the Upper West Side, that's like a long distance relationship.
Like, someone actually said that to me recently, like someone I matched with on the dating app, and we were texting and she was like, where do you live? I'm like, I'm in Bed-Stuy. I'm like, where do you live? And she's like, I'm in the West Village, which is really not that far. Like,
that's not that bad at all.
I live right off the AC. It's like a 20-minute train ride right to the West Village.
Yeah.
And she goes, we're basically long distance. And I'm like, okay, so I don't want to date you.
Yeah, it's honestly like, especially the Bed-Stuy to downtown pipeline is not bad at all.
Yep.
No. I'm currently seeing somebody who lives in Bed-Stuy, so I understand the commute. It's not bad.
No. People just like to be dramatic.
People like to be dramatic. But I want to go back to something you said, which is like as you were figuring out your queerness, like
yeah,
kind of, you know, you didn't really know what like a queer relationship looked like, etc. Like, when did you come out and what was that process like for you?
I came out in high school and kind of not by choice and sort of by choice, and I didn't have your typical like coming out story where you kind of make a statement to everyone and like you make it known and you're like, hey, I just need you to know this thing about me. I hope you still love me, yada yada yada. The way it happened for me was sort of just like I didn't make any sort of announcement. I just walked into school one day and was like holding this girl's hand, and I think everyone just knew from there, and I didn't feel like I had to say anything else.
Yeah. I think this is the thing with coming out. It's like, I feel like when we were in high school, it was only just starting to be like, you know, gay marriage and stuff wasn't legal yet. Like when we were in high school, I feel like people felt the need to come out. Like I'm thinking about ways that my brother, he went to all boys school. Some people in his grade, when they came out, they like, one kid like did it at assembly, like somebody like sent an email blast. And I feel like that was kind of normal for when we were in high school for people to like do this big announcement like of coming out. Whereas now, and I also still just agree with this, like coming out, like there's no reason for it. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't need to be a big deal. Like somebody doesn't need to proclaim their sexuality.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally your prerogative and like whatever you feel like you need. Yeah, whatever you feel like you need in order to like be seen by your peers or not seen. It's, you know, it's however much you want to share. And for me, it was still terrifying, even though I didn't like make any sort of big statement about it. It was terrifying knowing that people would know and maybe see me differently or treat me differently. But roll with the punches. And it's also like when you're a teenager, everything's kind of weird and doesn't make sense and it's confusing. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt and knew that it would be difficult, but it was something that like was important to me, you know, being true to myself.
How did your parents react?
They sort of found out. My mom sort of like point blank asked me one day while we were in the car. We were driving back from somewhere and she goes, hey, I've noticed that you hang out with this person a lot. I'm like, yeah, it's true. And she's like, is there anything there? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, we're friends. We're really good friends. And she's like, no, something more than that, like something romantic. And I said, yeah. And I was just like super honest. And I was like, okay, maybe this is good that she's asking me and I can like just be honest with her about it. But she did not take it well. And then she told my father, and my father did not take it well. And at the time, like, we were a pretty religious family. And, like, I had a religious upbringing, no longer practicing. But at the time, it was, like, one of the pillars of, like, being in my family, those religious values. So it did not go over well. And it was a super hard time. But my relationship with my parents is super different now, being an adult and, like, being on my own and things have changed, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I could write a novel about it.
How did, like, your coming out and your relationship, like, with your parents and all of those things that you were dealing with in high school, like, how did that kind of affect the way that you moved forward in your relationships? And, like, how did you kind of get into your first, like, relationship with a woman?
My first relationship with a woman sort of happened. It wasn't a very, like, conscious decision that I made. It was, I knew that I had feelings of, like, attraction to women, but I never thought, like, I was like, it can't mean anything about my sexuality. I was like, no way. I'm like, I'm so straight. Until one day, I kissed a girl, and then I was like, this is making me have feelings. And I just took it as it came, and, like, took it in stride and like tried not to overthink it. Obviously, I had my moments of like crisis where I was like, what does this mean about my sexuality? And like, what does this mean about, you know, just identity in general? But at the time, like, it was such a new experience that I was so caught up in it and it felt so good and felt, you know, like a positive thing in my life that I prioritized like following my heart, as cheesy as it is, and dealing with whatever came along the way. It was still super tricky to navigate and not an easy time interpersonally with other people, my parents, like friends, whatever. But even though it was hard, I knew that you know, that's who I was, or I was figuring out who I was. And it was important that, like, I went on that journey despite, you know, these challenges.
So what's the timeline of this here? Like, are you kind of going through all of this in high school, or was it once you got to college?
In high school, I would say, like, junior year was when I first discovered this about myself, that I like women. When I got to college, it was a lot easier because I kind of got to start fresh, you know, new friends, different place. And college is a time where, like, you're finding yourself. I also went to an all-women's college, and that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, more people are queer, but, like, being around other women just made it, I think, easier to find community and feel comfortable exploring these things. So once I got to college, I found myself in more back-to-back relationships. And I was still, like, figuring out how not to do things correctly, but, like, figure out, like, what it meant to be in a relationship with someone. What was, you know, hookup culture was a brand new thing to me as well. And I think hookup culture in queer communities is it's different than, like, hookup culture for straight people, for sure.
In what way, like, do you feel like it's different?
I feel like the rules of, like, straight flirting and, like, expectations in straight relationships are pretty defined just because of, like, gender roles, you know, all that good stuff. But with queer dating, it's a little more loosey-goosey, and there aren't, you know, defined expectations. People certainly fall into certain roles of, you know, being the more forward one or passive, etc., but it's not as ingrained in, like gender roles, expectations of, like, courtship, etc.
Like, who makes the first move, who pays on the first date, like, mm-hmm. who's texting first, like, all of those things are kind of what we learn and what we hear about in straight relationships all the time. Like, there are all these, even other dating podcasts, like, there are so many people who have, like, rules for dating, and it's so... One, it's very heteronormative, mm-hmm. like, when people talk about, like, you know, like, who should pay on the first date or how long you should wait until you text someone, things like that. There are a lot of, I think, things in any relationship, right? Like you were saying, like, you're kind of finding yourself in, like, what it's like to be in a relationship, what it's like to be in hookup culture. Like, that's an experience everyone has, mm-hmm. right? Like, the first time you're in a relationship, you're figuring out, like, what it's like to be in a relationship. I'm sure there's obviously, like, extra layers when you're queer and you're figuring out your sexuality, and there's not really a blueprint of, like, what you should be following, mm-hmm. or, like, what you should be expecting when you date, like, other women or men who are dating other men, or, you know, folks who identify as such. So I'm curious, like, what kind of person are you, like, when you're dating? Like, what's your approach? What has it evolved, like, since you started and where you're at now? Because, I mean, obviously we're much older and we have more experience.
I take on a certain role. I definitely have, like, certain tendencies when I'm dating. But in general, I feel like I approach dating and, like, first date the same way I would approach, like, making a new friend or, like, grabbing a meal with a friend, because that's essentially what it is. You might have different motives at the end of dinner or whatever, but when you're meeting someone for the first time and you're getting to know them, you're just getting to know them. And that's all it is. And, like, I think when I first started dating, it was a lot more stressful, and I definitely, like, had a lot more expectations on how to do it right and how to successfully go on a date with someone and talk to someone. None of it really matters. Just as long as, like, you are a decent person, you can communicate, you're open to, like, having a good time, and then going from there. And the more that I've, like, been able to treat it casually, the more it's, like, opened up my experiences and, like, opportunities to meet people.
Yeah, well, okay. How many relationships were you in college?
Three, four.
Okay.
Three or four?
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a lot in a span of 4 years.
Yeah, well, it was sort of on, like, an accelerated path my senior year. But up until, like, my junior year, I had only been in like two relationships.
What were they like? Like, how long were you with these people, and you know, what did you kind of learn from them?
A few years. I've been in like three serious long-term relationships that were probably around like 2 years each. They were all lovely and wonderful and all very different. And honestly, like, I am a very relationship-y person. I love love. And I love being doted on, and I love doting on someone. And it's great when you can just, like, you have someone to share things with, because it just makes life better, you know? But it's been super cool to not be in, like, a long-term serious relationship these days.
Facts.
And it's taught me a lot about myself and just, like, prioritizing my needs and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's talk a bit about your dating era, which I'm kind of glad we're talking about this now. Like, we have had some time since the first time we chatted about this, because I feel like it's given you more time to kind of get into your, like, groove with dating and, like, not being in a relationship. So, one, how are you meeting people? And, like, who are the kinds of people you've been dating? I want to hear some, like, good stories.
Let me preface this by saying that, like, when I first got out of my last serious relationship, I was so bad at dating. I had no idea what I was doing. So clueless, like, so lost. I downloaded the apps, obviously. I got on Hinge and, you know, like, matched with some people. It was exciting. And the first Hinge date that I had gone on was, like, with this, like, skater from Brooklyn with short hair. Like, anyway, you get the idea. And I was just so bad at it. Like, we went on, after going on this date, I was, like, obsessed with this person for no reason. Like, I was not chill. I had no chill whatsoever. Train wreck. Horrible. I learned from that. And I was like, I don't need a date the first person that, like, gives me any sort of attention. So since then, you know, gone on plenty of dates from the apps. I'm on Hinge. Don't really use Tinder or Bumble. I'm on Raya. Don't really use Raya. It's a little disappointing, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just not doing it right.
I mean, I hear from literally everyone Raya is disappointing. So, but is it mostly apps that you're meeting people off of?
Mostly apps, but also I love a good meet cute, and I love meeting people organically. And those are sort of like the best experiences, because you go in blind. You have like no idea who this person is, and you get to feel it out. Whereas with dating apps, you obviously have like some sort of idea or expectation going into it. And it never feels good if like they don't live up to your expectations. And it's certainly never their fault, but like, I think it sort of, not cheapens, but, like, complicates the experience of, like, a first date.
In what way?
Just because you're definitely going into the date with, like, a preconceived notion of who this person is. And for me, I find it difficult to not have that in mind. And also, like, a lot of first dates that I've been on, people always ask me, like, oh, so, like, do I, you know, live up to, like, my photos, like, what do you think, you know? And I'm never gonna, like, I'll answer honestly, but sometimes it's not a nice answer and no one wants to hear that, you know?
Has there been an instance that you've, like, gone on a date with someone and they've been totally not, like, what you were expecting?
A few times. I haven't been, like, severely catfished before, which, thank God, I don't know how I would deal with that situation. But I've definitely, like, met people and been like, oh, you are not what I was expecting. And that kind of, there's something about that, like, just makes me feel gross, you know?
Feel gross in the way that, like, you were expecting something different, or gross in the way that, like, why would they, like, present a certain way?
They're not meeting some sort of expectation that I have in my head, which is totally unfair to that person, right? Because like, they're just showing up as themselves, and I have this idea in my head. That's what feels gross about it.
Right. Well, so where do you like organically meet people then? Like, because I feel like in queer spaces, like, there's, or just generally, there are spaces that are curated to be specifically queer. Which is necessary, because obviously, like, when you walk into a bar, like, how are you supposed to know?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I understand that. So it's like, you're kind of going into spaces that are like already kind of curated for you to like potentially meet people. So like where do you like to go for like people who are listening, who are queer, who like might want to meet someone in person?
Well, there's the infamous Wednesdays at the Woods. It's specifically like a queer night and it's always happening. It can be really overwhelming sometimes, but more likely than not, you'll at least make eyes with someone and have, you know, live through some sort of romance, whether it's real or in your head. It's always a good time. I mean, there are definitely like certain bars and certain, you know, like queer nights that happen, pop-up events, stuff like that. But I mean, since being back in New York, like as an adult, it's been really cool to find, to like discover other spaces that are not just drinking and going out, that are queer friendly. So like one example is my friend's in a band that is a very, like all their shows are like very inclusive spaces. And I've met a lot of queer people at their shows, and it's not like their entire brand is like, we're a queer, you know, we're a queer band and like we make queer music. Like that's definitely not it, but they're really intentional,
right,
and amazing about like just making it an inclusive space and making it like a safe space too. So things like that.
Right.
Honestly, like I kind of just try to be open to meeting people wherever I go, even if it's just like at the coffee shop and I pick up a vibe from someone.
Has that happened?
Oh, totally.
Okay, spill the tea. I want some like good stories because I know you have them. Tell me about some like fun times you've met people through like weird ways. Tell me about some crazy dates you've been on. I know you have these stories.
So this was back in November. I had a big Friendsgiving with maybe like 20 people, 15 or 20 people. I made a 15-pound turkey, broke quite a sweat doing that. It's always stressful like hosting, but once you actually sit down and eat, it's so lovely. Whatever, we had a great time, filled with wine.
And you're a great cook too. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Thank you. I try. So we finished dinner. It's a Sunday night, but we're like a little tipsy and we're like, let's go out. We're in Greenwich and we're right by the gay bars. Cubbyhole is right there. So we go to Cubbyhole. It's like 8 p.m. You know, it's a school night. I mean, like, you know, everyone has work tomorrow, but we're like, we'll have one cheeky drink and see how it goes. So we hang out and we become friends with these like randos who are there standing next to us. And they're just like super fun and chill. A few of them from out of town. One of them is like in New York. And my friend and I are like, okay, we both just like kind of want to make out with someone and go home. So that was, that was our goal for the evening.
Been there.
Yeah. And so we're like talking to our new friends and I'm like, who should I make out with? And this girl that we had met was like, you could make out with me. And I'm like, okay, cool, down. And she's like, I can't actually, like, I have a boyfriend. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah, like, excuse me? And she goes, listen, I really want to, but I have a boyfriend. I'm like, okay. And then like 5 minutes later, her friends come up to me and they're both like, well, she has a boyfriend, but like they're supposed to break up like tonight, or like they're supposed to break up right now. So like you should still go for it. And I'm like, what do I do here? I'm like a little drunk now. I don't want to be a homewrecker. All of it just seems messy and like a bad idea. And ultimately I'm just like, I'm not gonna get involved with this. Like, this is not, I don't want this drama. So we just enjoy the rest of the evening and everyone like gets in their Ubers home and I walk this girl to the train. I'm like, well, if anything ever changes, let me know. And I was like, I'm really bummed I didn't get to kiss you. And she just like kind of looks at me and is like, well, like you can kiss me. So I kiss her at the train station and she walks down the stairs into the subway and I walk away and I realize I'm like, fuck, I didn't get her number. And went home and just like thought about that moment for like the next few days, that week, feeling confused because there was like such a strong vibe with this girl. Like we really hit it off. There was a lot of chemistry there and I was, you know, on my best behavior.
Best behavior, still kissed her.
Listen, she said it was okay. So had her consent.
I thought you were going to say you, like, ran down to the subway, like, to meet her and get her number.
I mean, that would have been way more of a movie moment, but I'm not always that cute and romantic. but it still felt like a movie moment.
You didn't have her name? You, like, couldn't find her any other way?
Honestly, I don't remember her name right now.
Like, who knows? She could be listening to this podcast.
I did end up getting her number, like, through one of her friends.
Okay.
And I texted her, and I was like, hey, it was, like, lovely meeting you. Like, you know, hope you got home safe. And she never responded, but that's fine. And honestly, I'm glad that, like, nothing more came of it, because the whole boyfriend situation did sound messy.
Yeah, I mean, also kind of a red flag.
Yes.
Because, like...
100%.
Yeah, like, if you're like, I have a boyfriend, but, like, I'm still down to kiss you, I'm like, when people do things like that, and I feel like I've been in this situation as well when I was, like, younger and more naive, where, like, I've been a homewrecker in a way before, like, not super intentionally, but, like, under the same guise that it's, like, oh, but we're breaking up really soon, or, like, whatever, whatever. And this is, like, when I was really young.
Right. Yeah.
It's, like, that's never, like, really the case. People just kind of tell you things they want because they want that, like, satisfaction, like, in the moment. You know, like, the chances are of that actually happening are very slim. So I am, like, I'm interested to maybe, this is another poll for the podcast, like, if people have been in a situation similar, because I have, where you're, like, vibing with someone, and then they are, like, in a relationship.
Yeah. I feel like most of the time, the, you know, the smart thing to do is walk away from it, no matter, like, how enticing it is. Like, it's up to the other person to figure their shit out.
Yeah.
And if there really was a vibe, like, they'd hit you up later when, like, you know, they were available.
Absolutely.
It's hard not to be, like, a little drawn into the drama, and it feels, like, sexy and, like, scandalous. And, you know, I'm sure all of us have been guilty of doing that at least once.
Yeah, I'm guilty of doing that more than once. I sound like a terrible person, but
you're not.
I'm also of the camp, and this could be, like, completely controversial, but if you're the single one and you're not doing anything, like, you're not the one doing anything wrong, you know? It's like the person who's in a relationship, it's their prerogative
to
vibe with you, to make a move on you. It's like, as the single person, like, sure, you can exercise restraint, but you're not in the wrong in the situation, really. And that might be a very selfish way to look at it, but I'm kind of like, I'm single. I'm, like, open to things, and if you want to talk to me or engage with me in that way, that is your prerogative. People might not agree with that, because there should be, like, obviously, if somebody's, like, in a relationship and, like, somebody's being hit on, like, you're a good person if you kind of, like, walk away from the situation without it being messy. But I'm also kind of like, I'm like, as a single person, there's, like, not really that. It's, like, not that on you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's up to your, it's at your discretion at the end of the day, and whatever, you know, however much you want to deal with of the consequences or not, you know.
I also think it's really interesting now, because there's more, and I wonder if this is, like, similar in the queer, I mean, it's probably more prevalent in the queer community, where, like, people are in open relationships or something like that. And I've been in a situation where, like, okay, I've been hit on by somebody, or I'm vibing with someone and I think they're in a relationship. And so I just kind of, like, abstain from doing anything. And then, like, I found out later, like, oh, they are in an open relationship. And it is, like, possible to get involved with somebody who's in a relationship. And I'm sure that's, like, very, very prevalent in queer communities as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on that. Non-monogamy and polyamory and ethical non-monogamy, all that good stuff. It's complicated and it can be messy, but it can also not be messy at all. At the end of the day, it's just, like, it depends on the person in whatever situation they're in is straightforward and, like, upfront about where they're at and, like, expectations and just being on the same page. And I feel like if I ever get the sense that, like, they're not being truthful, like, I don't want any part of it.
Right.
You know, it serves no one.
So have you dated people who are, like, ethically non-monogamous or polyamorous or any of those things? Or have you been in an open relationship?
No. I mean, I, like, had a sort of fling with someone for a little bit, and we were dating and said that we were open, but both of us had never been open before, so neither of us knew what we were doing and how to set boundaries and expectations. So it was a learning process for both of us, but we tried to communicate about it. It did not end up going well for either of us, mostly because of the lack of communication. But for me, like, personally, like, I didn't have a huge issue with it. And, like, it's something that, like, I would explore with a future partner, because it's definitely possible to have a dynamic like that.
Yeah, I've seen it happen, like, successfully with some people. But where it really boils down to is very much, like, communication, expectations, mutual respect, and, like, being on the same page. It's so easy. Like, you have to tread very lightly in situations like that. And it's also interesting being the other person who's getting involved with somebody who's in an open relationship. Yeah, it requires a lot of, like, a lot of communication and a lot of, like, being okay with a lot of things. But I feel like you're a pretty, like, monogamous person. Like, you are constantly in relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, historically, I have been monogamous, but I don't think of myself as, like, strictly a monogamous person. I think I definitely prefer monogamy, but it, like I said, it depends on, like, who you're with and who you meet and what your needs are. And, like, needs always change.
That's
so
true.
The person I was a year ago is very different from the person I am now. And if I were to get into a relationship now, I don't know if I would just assume that I, you know, want to be in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in the past few months, there are times I'm like, oh, like, who are you seeing? Like, what's up? And it's, like, four different women.
What are you trying to say here? What are you trying to say?
I mean, you're pretty good at juggling, like, you get into these, like, really even intense, like, pseudo, I feel like, and I don't know if it's a queer thing, if it's, like, if it's a you thing.
Well, like, I like meeting people, and I like getting to know people, and, you know, they don't always end up becoming serious things. And the other thing is like, I'm not sneaky about it.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. I'm always, like, super upfront when I start seeing someone about, like, my expectations with dating and, like, dating other people simultaneously. It's funny because I feel like the last two events that you hosted, a few people have come up to me and the first thing they would say is, like, so I heard you invited, like, four of your Tinder dates. And I'm like, excuse me, first of all, I don't use Tinder. Second of all, it's not four, it's maybe three. So just, let's get that right.
I mean, it was iconic behavior. Like, I was like, this is exactly what I want at my events. I want, like, people to bring the people they're interested in, you know, Hunger Games style. I want drama. I want to see someone fight it out.
Fight to the death.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the final rose tonight?
Truly. And, you know, it's fun because then, you know, I got to see who you left with.
Oh, come on. Okay.
I mean, you're not the only one. Like,
I know.
I had friends invite their Hinge dates, their Tinder dates, their situationships, and all of the above. Like, because, I don't know, like, my events kind of breed that sort of, like,
yeah.
There's just an air of sexual tension, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. But that's the whole point.
To breed chaos?
To breed chaos. No, I want people to meet each other.
Yeah.
And I want people to, like, connect and actually talk to each other. And I had that event last night that you came to, which I think was, like, more different than things I've done in the past. It was a bit more, like, you know, people are talking to each other, people are meeting. And I was talking to one of my friends who is also queer, and she was like, which I want my events to be open to everyone. I don't want it to be, like, strictly straight people, like, and also, like, people are more than just that, like, regardless. And I was talking to her and she was like, oh, there's no queer women here. And I was like, that's not true. Like, there are queer women here. And she was like, oh, like, how am I supposed to know? And I was like, I, you know, I don't, I don't know. Like, how are you supposed to know? Like,
you gotta talk to people. That's what
you gotta talk to people. I know. Yeah. You gotta feel a vibe. I had those stickers at the last event, which was like, they were red if you're taken, yellow if it's complicated, and green if you're single. And she was like, you should have a rainbow sticker. I'm like, I don't want to out anyone like that, but I'm kind of like, it could be a good idea. Like, I want these spaces to be inclusive and exciting for everyone. And not every single person is straight. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Who knows?
I feel like I've definitely found my people at all of your events. I haven't felt like it's like particularly straight or whatever. But also, like, I'm outgoing. I like talking to people.
Yeah.
I don't really mind.
Yeah. But those are the kinds of people that my event attracts as well, I think, mostly.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, people who want to meet people. So,
yeah.
If you're listening to this, you know, come to my next event, you know, follow on Instagram. I'll do a little plug, or TikTok. That's where I post things. If you've come to an event in the past, I try and blast out, you know, my next events through email and things like that. So keep your eyes peeled.
She will definitely end up on your For You page. Just so you know. I've had like random friends be like, oh, I saw this like cool singles party that's happening. I want to go. And I'm like, yeah, that's Ari.
It's so weird. Like at that event last night, so many people were like, I saw you on TikTok. Like, you're on my For You page all the time. Yeah, TikTok is a super weird place. Like, the way that it reaches so many people. But I want to go back to you and your stories. I mean, you did come to one of my events and you did invite like 3 or 4 people you were seeing. So how did that play out for you?
Honestly, it was stressful. As much as it sounds like a fun, like, quirky thing to do, it's stressful. And I don't want to be a shitty person and put people in an uncomfortable situation and like actually make them fight. Like, that's ridiculous. It was more just like, it was like a loose invitation to, you know, a few people, and I didn't think all of them would actually show up, and not all of them did, so it ended up being fine.
Where have you, like, netted out with some of the people that you have been dating? Like, do you feel like you consistently, like, go on a lot of dates, like, all the time? Like, how do you kind of balance it all?
Yeah, I definitely do go on a lot of dates. But it is, you know, exhausting and time-consuming. Not just, like, because you're spending a few hours, like, out, but emotionally it's draining, too. But that doesn't mean I'm, like, going on dates every single week. It's sort of just, like, I recognize when, like, I have the capacity, you know, and I have some free time to go on a date, then I do that. But if it's like a harder week for me and I need some alone time, I do that. I don't have like expectations for myself for like how many dates I should be going on. And it's also like, I feel like in general, I'm just open to, if I meet someone, I meet someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always have to be like someone that I, you know, schedule a date with from a dating app.
Yeah.
I have a funny first date story. It wasn't a bad first date, but it's just a funny first date story. I got drinks with this person I met on Hinge. And when I first met them, like, they were super awkward and dorky. And I was like, oh no. I'm like, ugh, I'm going to have to cut this short. But we ended up talking and it became a little more comfortable. And it was actually a good time. And after some time, I was like, hey, so I'm going to go meet up with my friends for some like birthday drinks. You're welcome to tag along. And I just extended the invitation just like to be nice. I didn't think they'd actually say yes. But to my surprise, they said yes. So they tagged along with me and met like 5 or 10 of like my high school and college friends, which is wild. Like, I would be so overwhelmed in that situation. But they really like took it like a champ, and everyone was like, yeah, they're great. Went to the gay bars, did that, had like, you know, a big night, tequila shots, dancing, and then went home. They went home with me. And the next morning, we were both so hungover. Like, I was so unwell. And I yacked, and I was like, okay, I'm okay now. I gathered myself because I was like, this is not cute. And then a few minutes later, they're like, yeah, I'm not feeling so well either. And then, like, they go and yak. And I'm
like, oh my God.
Cool. Like, this is a really cute, like, morning after. And I'm like, I'll walk you to the subway or whatever. So we leave my apartment and I'm walking them to the subway, and you can just tell that they're like holding on for dear life. Like, there's not a single thought in their head other than just like not puking in the middle of the street. So we're walking and I know where this is going, right? I'm like, this is not going to be good for them. We're like about to get to the end of the block and I just see them sprint for the trash can and immediately puke. And I'm like, I'm going to go get you a Gatorade. So I sort of just left them there for a minute. Like I bought them a Gatorade and came back and they were like, yeah, usually like I'd kiss you, but obviously not. Just puked in a trash can. And I was like, yep. And they're never going to live that down.
Was this recently?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
They did get a second date. They actually got several dates after that, which is like huge. You have to have so many redeeming qualities about bounce back from something like that. But it's a funny story, you know? It was fun. Yeah, it was funny. I mean, we were both struggling. It was rough for both of us. So
yeah. Well, I'm curious, like, what are the qualities you look for in a person? Like, do you think you have a type?
I don't know if I have a type, but there definitely have like standards or things that I like look for in someone. One is just like being outgoing. I don't mind an introvert. I've definitely become like more extroverted recently, but like I get alone time and like recharging in your own space. But outgoing is important. Like if I bring you to an event with my friends, just like getting along and like just going with the flow.
Being able to hang is huge.
Exactly. I love food and I love cooking. So minimally, if you can't cook, I need you to be down with me to like try good food and like go to new restaurants and all that. You know, extra points if you're a mean cook. I also really like someone who's just like smart and funny and sort of like off the cuff and like unpredictable in a fun way. And also someone who just like has a lot to share.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love learning about people's like inner worlds and like seeing how they experience life.
Yeah, I mean, those are all really good qualities. Do you feel like you have any like physical type?
Honestly, no. Recently, I dated people who look all types of ways, ranging from like super femme to like non-binary, more mask. So, but I will say I definitely do tend to date people who are like brunettes with light eyes. If I had to say what my type was, that's my type.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like.
And you know this, like you're.
I'm like trying to think. Yeah, I'm like trying to think of your like your dating history and I'm like, yeah, that checks out. But it's true. I don't think you.
Yeah, the last person I went on a date with was a brunette with light eyes.
I don't think you skew though, like anyway, like you said, like
no, definitely
with
not.
Super femme or mask or Mm-mm. anything like that.
Mm-mm.
But I have seen you with like some of the sexiest women
I
think I've ever seen.
I know. The thing is like if you're hot, you're hot. Right.
Right.
And it's like not just your like physical beauty that like makes someone hot. There are a lot of other things that make someone attractive.
Yeah. The way you dress, your confidence.
Mm-hmm. Style is super important to me.
Mm.
Like I don't need you to be looking fresh every single day, but like I love when someone has just like personal taste, like personal style.
Yeah.
I also love a good like button down and a good suit. Ugh.
A good silk shirt. I just remember meeting this one girl that you were seeing and I was just like, I was so intimidated by her. I was like, oh my god, she's so hot. And like the way that she was wearing, like I've never seen somebody wear a shirt the way that she was wearing her shirt.
Mm.
I don't remember if it was like, it was either buttoned at the top and it was just completely open. It was like a button up shirt, like I think just buttoned at the top. And she just, like, I was like, oh, my God.
I have no idea who you're talking about, but I know. Yeah.
I know. That's telling it anyway. Well, okay, we're, like, crouching upon a time that we need to tap out. And the way that I wrap up usually, and you know this is a segment I like to call shots. I'm going to ask you rapid fire this or that questions.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. All right?
Let's do it.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Work hard or play hard?
Both, but work hard.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Oh, laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
Depends on what you're looking for, but TikTok.
Money or fame?
Fame.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
What's your favorite season?
Fall.
Coffee or drink state?
Coffee. Oh, I didn't let you finish that. Drink state.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
I hate that question. A solid 7.5.
What's your drink of choice?
I've been really into like mezcal Negronis lately. Anything with mezcal.
Favorite song at the moment?
I've been really feeling my sad girl self lately. Boy of My Dreams by Clairo has been on repeat.
Favorite dating app?
Hinge.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Probably something after myself. The Salty Skipper. Salty Skipper.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just alliterated.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much to our guest for talking with me today. If you're interested in matching with them, visit the link in bio on Instagram at drinks.first. Or if you don't have an Instagram, email us drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials for the latest updates, guest information, events, and other fun content. If you like this episode, please remember to rate, share, review on your podcast app. That helps us grow the most. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. You can find me on Instagram at ariana.nathani and on TikTok at ariana.nathani. Be sure to check back next Tuesday for a new episode.